We're going to turn now to the Word of God, and we're going to look at the psalm that Mike read for us a little earlier. I actually began looking at Psalm 8 a few weeks ago, the last time I was preaching, and on that occasion we looked at verse 1, which speaks about our God and declares the character of our God. So we looked at verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. This morning I want to look at verse 2. Now I'm not going to work my way through this psalm verse by verse, but I do want to look at verse 2 this morning for this reason. It is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. Now, I appreciate when you hear that statement, you might think, I'm not sure about this. I don't think I've ever looked at verse 2 in this way. Well, I must admit, I hadn't either until I began to study this psalm. And I think some of you know this because for the last few weeks, I've talked about verse 2 and what an impact verse 2 has made in my life, in my thinking. And I wanted to just look at this one verse and bring it to you this morning with this one thought in mind, that through this word, God might encourage you. That's my only goal in life, in this sermon this morning, that I would like you to be encouraged. I would like your heart to be lifted up in joy and in worship to our God as you think about the teaching of verse 2. This is what it says: out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. And when we first look at this verse, you have to look at it a few times to get your head around it. What exactly is David saying here? And do you know, God is so gracious that some of these verses, which might puzzle us when we first look at them, not sure what exactly David is saying here. God is so gracious that some of these verses are then quoted in the New Testament. And when we look at the quotation in the New Testament, they give us insight into the meaning of those verses. And this is one of those verses. It is quoted in Matthew chapter 21, and it was quoted by the Lord Jesus himself. And perhaps later when you have time, you would look at Matthew chapter 21 and see the context in which Jesus quotes this verse, and you will see why I found it so encouraging and why I want to bring it to you this morning as such an encouraging word, because that is how Jesus quoted it. It was as an encouragement to his people. Now, what I want to do is to basically summarize in one sentence the teaching of this verse, what this verse is actually saying. And then I want to unpack that teaching by looking at examples in the Bible. And what this verse is basically saying is this. It is saying that God does some of his greatest works through the most ordinary of his people. God does some of his mightiest works, some of his greatest works, some of the greatest works that have been done in the kingdom of God have been done not by the mightiest of servants, not by the greatest of saints, but by the people like you and me, the most ordinary of people, people whom the rest of the world has never heard of and never will hear of, people who never appear on any radar anywhere or for any greatness or anything like that, ordinary people who live ordinary lives, go about their ordinary business and serve God in the most ordinary circumstances of life, and God uses their faith and God uses their efforts to accomplish some of the greatest works that have been done in the kingdom of God. That's what this verse is saying, and that's how Jesus quotes it in Matthew 21. It is saying, out of the mouths of babies and infants, what the world would call insignificant people. The world would call people of no greatness, no reputation, no great ministry, no international name or anything like that. Babies and infants, the most ordinary of Christians, living the most ordinary of Christian lives, going about their daily lives, and in doing so, the Bible says, out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength. Or another way of translating that, you have declared your power. Ordinary people going about their ordinary lives, Christian, of course, Christian people, have, by the very ordinary lives that they live, they have declared the power of God. They have shown to the world how mighty, how powerful God is. The quote in Matthew 21 is a contrast between the Jewish leaders, who in the eyes of the world were the significant, great people, and the very ordinary disciples of Jesus Christ, people whom most of the world had never heard of. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem the last week of his earthly life before his crucifixion, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the greats of the day, the Jewish leaders, resisted him, and the ordinary people praised him. And when the Jewish leaders confronted Jesus about this, these people who are praising you, and Jesus quoted this psalm, and Jesus says, out of the mouths of babies and infants, praise. That's how the New Testament quotes it, and that again is a valid way of putting it. You have organized things in such a way that your people living very ordinary lives bring praise to your name and accomplish great things for your kingdom. I wonder how you're feeling this morning during this lockdown period. Is it the 10th week, 11th? I've lost count. But it's certainly been quite a number of weeks, hasn't it? I think 10 weeks minimum. Wonder how you feel. Do you just feel, well, I don't seem to be doing very much. And life seems to be so difficult. Perhaps you're finding it stressful at work because you're working from home. And you're finding life difficult because it is stressful working from home. I've had 3 committee meetings this week, all on Zoom. And I've realized how difficult it is to be in a committee meeting on Zoom, how much different it is to sitting around in a room with people because of the way it just operates. And it does add stress. And perhaps you're feeling stressed, and perhaps you're feeling discouraged. And you're thinking, well, I don't seem to be doing much. And perhaps it's not even lockdown. Perhaps it's just your age. And you think, well, I'm old now. I can't go out very much. I can't do very much. I can't even make all the church meetings when we're all meeting in a church building. I can't even make all those meetings because I'm now limited by my age, by my illness. Or perhaps you just think, well, I don't have many gifts. I mean, what am I able to do for God? I don't have a preaching gift. I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't have many gifts. What can I do for the Lord? And I want to bring this to you this morning, and I want to say to you that people like you and me, the most ordinary people, not very gifted, not hundreds of gifts, certainly no international ministry, certainly not appearing in any radar anywhere, have accomplished for God huge things. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have declared your power. You have shown how mighty, how powerful you are. You have used babies and infants, insignificant people, to show this. You have declared your glory through your most ordinary of people. As I say, what I want to do is to take 3 examples from the Bible. There are only 3 that I'm going to take. I could have had 10 or 11 different examples because there are so many examples in the Bible of this truth. But I just want to take three examples, and I trust that these three will encourage you. I'm going to mention names, and you will look at me and think, I've never heard of such a person. Well, don't worry. Most Christians haven't. That's the point, you see. I'm going to pick out obscure Christians and show you how these obscure Christians have, doing just the most ordinary things, brought great glory to God. I want, first of all, for us to think about parents in the Bible. Parents in the Bible. Do you know there are people in the Bible who were parents? And they didn't do anything great apart from having children and bringing up their children in the knowledge of God. Some of them are hardly mentioned. And yet their children have gone on to serve God in a mighty way, and their children's lives have been influenced by the parents. I wonder how many of you could tell me who were Amram and Jochebed. I think some of you know who they are. They were Moses' parents. Moses' father and mother, Amram and Jochebed. They're only mentioned twice in the Bible. Most of the time it's just Moses' parents. Their name isn't even mentioned. Just a couple of verses, their names are mentioned. But you know what an influence they had upon Moses, particularly, and I say this from the Bible, particularly his mother. Do you know the Bible has a special place for godly mothers who bring up their children in the Lord? And here is this woman, Jochebed. And you know all the circumstances of Moses' birth and how in the providences of God, Jochebed, his mother, ended up bringing him up in Pharaoh's palace. You know how he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, but then she asked Jochebed to help her bring him up. And so Jochebed, Moses' mother, was fully engaged in bringing up this young man. And as you look at Moses' life, and you look at Moses' faith, and you look at Moses' perseverance, I'm in awe of Moses. I think we all should be in awe of Moses. 40 years in the wilderness, leading the children of Israel, and never giving up, persevering in faith, persevering in prayer, persevering in holiness. Where did all that come from? And I believe it came from God using this woman who we've hardly ever heard of, Jochebed, just bringing up her son. She probably had no idea what God had in mind for this boy. She was a faithful, godly woman. And God gave her the opportunity to bring up her son. And she brought him up in the fear of the Lord. And she taught him about the Lord. And she taught him who he was. He was a Hebrew and not an Egyptian. And God uses this woman to raise up Moses, a great servant of God. Later in the Bible, we read of another mother, Hannah. I think she's better known than Jochebed because we read about her in 1 Samuel. And you know how the Lord granted her a son, Samuel. And the Bible tells us that when she had weaned him, she took him to the temple. Now, it's actually quite clear that she didn't just leave him there all the time. That's not how the Jewish culture worked. The Jewish culture, the way that it worked in the Old Testament, if a woman did give her son to the temple, he spent quite a lot of time with her and quite a lot of time in the temple. It wasn't that she just left him there and never saw him again. And Hannah was clearly a very godly woman. You read her prayer, particularly in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. You read her prayer. This godly, godly woman. And she clearly had an influence on Samuel. And Samuel grows up to be this giant in the land of Israel at a time when the people of Israel were at an all-time low and needed a great servant to come and to rouse them and to unite them and to lead them by faith to God and to establish them again as a nation. And Samuel does it, a product of Hannah's faith and godliness. you go on into the New Testament and you meet one of Paul's mission partners, Timothy. And once in the Bible, we read about his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And the Apostle Paul writes about them. And the Apostle Paul says to Timothy that you have known the scriptures since childhood. Now, his father was a Greek. His father never taught him any scriptures. His father didn't even have him circumcised. But his grandmother, Lois, was a Christian. And his mother, Eunice, was a Christian. And they brought him up in the Lord, and they taught him the scriptures from childhood. And Timothy grew up a man of faith and a faithful servant of God. Do you have young children? I encourage you, pray for your children. And from the moment they're able to understand, teach them the scriptures. You might say, Sukesh, I'm not a trained theologian. Well, neither was Jochebed, and neither was Hannah, and neither were Lois and Eunice. They just loved the Lord. And they pulled out the scriptures and would teach the scriptures. And what a wonderful thing it is that we can bring up our children in the training of the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord. And you know what Solomon says, cast your bread upon the waters. Give it to God in faith. And who knows what God will accomplish. Do you have grown up children? And you have taught them the word of God. Pray for them daily. You have believing children. Pray for them. Pray that they would continue to live a godly life in their place of work, that they would serve the Lord in a local church somewhere, that they would be of encouragement and help to God's people wherever God has placed them. Do you have unbelieving children? Pray for them. Pray that God might grant them faith to believe, because they have a stock of knowledge. You have taught them the word of God. They're unbelievers at the moment, but they have knowledge of the Bible. Pray for them. And speak to them of the Lord. And send them texts and remind them that you're praying for them. You never know what the Lord will do with all this. In Victorian times, in the city of London, there was a young man who came from a Christian home, and he was working in an office. He wasn't a believer. He came from a Christian home. And his mother in the village would write to him every week. And she always ended her letter with a sentence, I will never give you up. That's how she always finished her letter. I will never give you up. One day this young man was in the office when the letter came, and he opened it and he read it. And his colleague who was sitting next to him looked over and saw that line. He said, what does that mean? I've never seen what does this mean? And he said, well, my mother's a Christian. And what she means is she will never stop praying for me. And this colleague was so touched by them. This is incredible. And he began to look into the Christian faith because of this one line. And he bought a Bible and read it and became a Christian. And he went to his office and he said to this man, I've become a Christian because of what your mother wrote. And the young man himself thought, well, I'd better look into this if my colleague has become a Christian. And he began to search and he became a Christian. One praying mother writing one line in a letter. God accomplishes great things through the most ordinary of his people. So the first example I've given you is parents. The second example I have from the Bible is people who have spoken the word of God to unbelievers. People who have spoken the word of God to unbelievers. I have one example for you. It's a little girl, a small girl, a little girl. We don't know her name. But we are told in the Bible that there was a time when the Assyrians went to Israel, to the northern kingdom of Israel. This is in the Old Testament, of course. And they raided Israel and they brought back with them a little girl. That's what the Hebrew text says. That's how our English is translated. A little girl. And she was a slave in the house of the Syrian commander, Naaman. There she was, this Hebrew girl, brought up undoubtedly in a godly home. And she obviously knew the Lord and trusted in the Lord. And there she was, a slave in Naaman's house. And Naaman has leprosy. You know, there was no cure for leprosy. So Naaman is in despair. And this little slave girl speaks because she loves the Lord and has faith in the Lord. And she speaks and she says, if only my master knew the prophet, Elisha, he would be healed. Now, Naaman would ordinarily say, who is this person? Why should I take notice of a child? She was a child and a slave girl and a Hebrew. Why on earth should I take notice? But he does. This is, you see, the providences of God. This is how God's providences work. He does take notice, and off he goes and seeks out Elisha. And you know the story in 2 Kings chapter 5, how Elisha sends a message to him, go to the Jordan and dip yourself in the Jordan. And finally he does go to the Jordan. He first protests, but he goes to the Jordan and he's healed of his leprosy and is saved. I have no doubt Naaman became a believer. You read his words after he became a Christian, after this experience. He's a believer because of the testimony of a little girl, a slave in his house. You see how God does a mighty work through this insignificant little child who spoke in the name of God. You go to your place of work when the lockdown has eased and you're back in your office in your place of work and you're known as a Christian where you are. And you might say something or you respond in a certain way because you're a Christian. So you speak words of grace, words of love, words of care. Or you respond in a certain way because you love the Lord and your faith moves you to respond to a crisis in a certain way. And people take notice. Why should they take notice? Because God is at work. Why should Naaman listen to a Hebrew slave girl? Because God is at work. And why should your colleagues take notice? Because God is at work. And God uses your testimony, perhaps one sentence, perhaps the way you responded in a meeting. There are all your colleagues, you're in a meeting, and somebody says something rather nasty, and you respond in a Christian way. People immediately take notice. And who knows? You know, this is how I became a Christian. I was working in an office, and there was a colleague who was a Christian. And his life and his word spoke to me, and I bought a Bible and read the Bible, became a Christian. God does mighty works through the most ordinary of means. And the words that you speak in a place of work, the words that you speak to your neighbors, the words that you speak to your friends who are not Christians, the words that you write in a text to somebody. Well, who knows what God will do with this? Who knows how God will use them? We must never say to ourselves, well, of course, I'm not John MacArthur. I'm not John Piper. I mean, why should anybody listen to me? God has used the most ordinary of people for the mightiest of his works. The commander Naaman became a Christian because of the testimony of a small slave Hebrew girl in his house. What a remarkable testimony that is. What a remarkable encouragement that is. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength. You have declared your power. Do you see the power of God? It is God's power we're looking at. Just a little girl speaking something. But God's power takes those words. And God's power works in Naaman's heart. And God's power moves Naaman to go to Elisha. And God's power moves Naaman to obey Elisha and to be saved. We're looking at God's power declared through a small Hebrew girl. So there are examples of parents who have done mighty things by just being ordinary people. We've looked at the example of this Hebrew girl who did mighty things just by being a witness to her Lord. Thirdly and finally, there are those who have encouraged God's servants. There are those who have encouraged God's servants. When you read the Bible, you find that some of these servants of God, they had long ministries, and many times they were greatly discouraged in their ministries. I'm going to take the example of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Jeremiah had this long ministry in Jerusalem as the exile to Babylon approached. And as you read Jeremiah, the amount of opposition to him, the king, particularly Zedekiah, was beastly, was awful to Jeremiah. And the priests, those who should have supported Jeremiah, a man of God, prophesying the word, and the priests turned against him. And the Jewish leaders who should have supported Jeremiah, a prophet of God. I mean, can you imagine the blessings of having a prophet of God in your city at a time of crisis when the Babylonians are coming? And they turn against Jeremiah. And Jeremiah perseveres and perseveres and perseveres. Now, how does he do this? How come Jeremiah is able to persevere faithfully in this long ministry over many years in the face of constant opposition? Well, let me give you some names. Ahikam, Gemariah, Elishama, Delaya, Elnathan, Baruch. How many of us have heard of these names? Well, Baruch we've heard of. Baruch is the more famous one. But Ahikam, Gemariah, Elishama, Delaya, Elnathan, you see, they're all listed in the book of Jeremiah because they all encouraged Jeremiah. When Jeremiah was discouraged, they would come to him and they would speak words of grace to him and they would encourage him. And when Jeremiah was in trouble, they would come to his aid. And so Jeremiah was able to accomplish a tremendous ministry for God because of these little known people, people we've never heard of, who encouraged him. Think of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Again, a long ministry. Again, a ministry where there was much to discourage him. The churches that he planted, some of them fell into dreadful sin, into doctrinal error. The opposition that he faced from the Gentiles, the opposition from the Jewish leaders, the imprisonment and the trials that he faced. How did he keep going? Well, you read the letters of Paul and you read about people whom he names. Phoebe, a supporter of many and of myself as well. Tryphena and Tryphosa, co-workers in the Lord. Aristarchus and Justus, who have been a comfort to me. Onesiphorus, he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Who are these people? Who is Phoebe? Well, she's mentioned once in the New Testament, one verse. But a supporter, an encourager, a helper of many and of myself as well, says Paul. Who were Tryphena and Tryphosa? Co-workers in the Lord. Who were Aristarchus and Justus? They have been a comfort to me. Who was Onesiphorus? He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. See, God uses this ordinary people to speak words of encouragement, words of comfort to Paul to refresh him. Remember the words of Solomon, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This week, you could pick up the phone or write an email or a text, and by the words you speak or the words you write, you could do irreparable damage to somebody's spiritual walk with the Lord. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You could. if your words are critical and harsh and demanding and, you know what I mean, negative, you could crush a person. And that person, because we're all at this time of lockdown, we're all very fragile. We're all very fragile. And we have very little actual physical fellowship with people. We're in a very fragile position. And you could write words that could destroy somebody. And they would think, well, what's the point in going on with the Lord? What's the point in trying to work for the Lord in using my gifts? What's the point? You could destroy. Or you could speak words, write a text, write an email that could make a child of God in this church a wonderful servant for years to come. Because there have been words of encouragement. You have expressed appreciation and thanked a person and how much you've been blessed by their ministry. And that could do them so much good. They could be in a very fragile situation. And these words have come and the words have built them up and encouraged them in the Lord. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Well, that's Psalms 8 and verse 2. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes. God uses all of us, to do great works. Let's be encouraged.